P-minus 93. Principal point, Solar City, Sanctuary.
Welcome to Principal Point.
The leader of the Smalls Welcoming Committee smiled at the human trio. He was now alone, having dismissed his companions as he guided the humans through an automatically opening doorway. Dan and the others saw nothing out of the ordinary as they looked around the ground floor area. Indeed, what struck them was how remarkably familiar so much of it was. Rather than anything from Earth, however, the walls and floor of this reception room conjured up clear mental images of the walkways within New Kerguelen's great shelter, which was built by the architects, Dan considered, his mind quickly answering its own question as to how and why such similarities would arise. The similarities went beyond the whiteness of the walls and floor, with what struck Dan as the most obvious similarity of all being a feature he had never consciously noticed on New Kerguelen until its reoccurrence here brought it to light. The way the walls met the ceiling in a mildly ornate curve was unmistakably familiar from the corridor in the Great Shelter's Sector Zero, and a quick telepathic comment on this point let Dan know that Leisha, far more familiar with the shelter's walls, having spent almost all of his life believing they were keeping him and his fellow messengers alive, had noticed exactly the same thing.
Their fingerprints are all over this place, Leisha replied.
No one else replied, so Dan wasn't sure whether Leisha had also sent this thought to the others or only to him. Experiencing long silences in the company of Billy and Tara, both of whom were naturally and pleasantly chatty, was odd for Dan. The Smalls' demeanor thus far had made them appear unwilling to engage in meaningful conversation, but it very much seemed that their principal would be willing and able to give the humans the answers they needed. One question Dan didn't want to think about having to ask related to when, and perhaps even whether, his group would be allowed to return home. He was by no means opposed to engagement with the Smalls, all of whom had seemed friendly enough so far, but he had a family to get back to on Earth, and knew that the whole group would have to return to New Kerguelen as quickly as possible if further chaos on the messenger's beleaguered world was to be avoided. The discovery of the gateway to Sanctuary had caused all manner of fears about the possibility that the deceitful and powerful architects could be lying on the other side, with calls to destroy both of New Kerguelen's known gateways having risked cutting off all traffic from Earth, and thus all hope of future interspecies communication. Dan's group had taken their leap of destiny in confidence that recently discovered transcripts which mentioned a sanctuary planet for the messengers in case of emergency offered sufficient reassurance that nothing bad would lie on the other side. Surprises certainly had lain on the other side, in the form of a previously unimagined race with certain peculiarly human and peculiarly modern attributes, but there was as yet no reason to consider anything about Sanctuary itself to be bad. The single worst fear in Dan's mind as he stood on the ground floor of Principal Point was that the citizens of New Kerguelen might soon reach a conclusion that something bad had happened to the crew and might react by recklessly destroying the gate in an attempt to prevent anything or anyone bad from coming through it. This unimaginably bad possibility, once it was in his mind, became impossible to shake. Not only would such an action cut off all hope of interspecies cooperation between New Kerguelen and Earth, which Dan had previously thought to be inconceivable, it may also have led to immediate problems in terms of creating a vacuum or something equally destructive. Now that he and his fellow crew were on the wrong side of the gate, any action taken to destroy it would simultaneously and decisively strand them on Sanctuary with no means of ever making it back home.
Is he at the top?
Tara asked, speaking for the first time in a very long time and getting straight to the point.
We need to go home, so if we have to see him first to get his permission or whatever, can you hurry up and take us?
While blunt, Tara's words and tone lacked any hostility and were perfectly understandable.
I am the principal's deputy, the small alien said. You can call me Depp.
Dan and Billy exchanged a brief but telling glance. Something about this seemingly minor thing struck them both as particularly strange. Shortening a name like that was so human, but the casual manner in which Depp made the statement was almost as noteworthy as the fact he stated it in perfect English.
So can you hurry up and take us to see him, Depp?
Tara asked, her acute and ever-increasing impatience tinging the question with a flavor that Dan hoped wouldn't be interpreted as disdain.
I won't ask why you're in such a hurry,
Depp replied very neutrally as he held out a hand to guide the humans in the direction they were to head.
But our principal will.
No one replied as they followed Depp through another automatically opening door.
The elevator is this way,
the diminutive alien continued, but his guest's attention was somewhat taken by their new surroundings on this side of the second door. Furniture, in the form of bench-like chairs and three wide tables, filled a small portion of the large room's floor space, all at a species-appropriate height that made the whole place look like it was designed for children. The lack of anything besides these pieces of furniture would have bored most human children, or indeed adults, to tears, and it raised the question of what exactly the room was for. Everyone shrugged it off and continued towards the elevator. Dan caught himself in the act of no longer being surprised, much less amazed, to learn that a newly discovered alien civilization used tables and chairs that were instantly recognizable as such, and similarly used an elevator to travel between the stories of their glass-based skyscrapers. New Kerguelen and its messengers, without question, had desensitized Dan to this kind of thing. Enough time had passed since he ascended their elevators and gazed in wonder upon their remarkably recognizable furniture for his mind to have come to terms with two basic realities. That any intelligent beings so physically similar to humans and who lived on worlds with such similar environments in gravitational and pressure-based terms, as well as in terms of air composition, would have a need for chairs, and that any beings of similar intelligence would come to similar conclusions about the ideal shape and form of such items. The same held for elevators, which were the obvious and most efficient means of ascending and descending the floors of a tall building. And all that Dan's mind was truly and continually amazed by today was that Depp was effortlessly using human speech and English words like elevator, and directly projecting them very audibly into his guest's ears. Inside the elevator, there were visible buttons. This initially surprised Dan, since the reactive wall surfaces within New Kerguelen's great shelter had no visible markings of this kind. His mind was running on all kinds of confused assumptions and combating all kinds of knowledge gaps, with one core and essentially baseless implication that had informed everything else thus far, being that the architects had engaged with and deceived the messengers on New Kerguelen before moving the Smalls to Sanctuary. For all Dan knew, it was just as likely that the Great Shelter had been built after Principal Point and everything else on Sanctuary, and that these buildings and their familiar but not identical details were the inspiration for everything within the shelter rather than the opposite being the case. Certain timelines still weren't crystal clear, particularly relating to the architect's initial interactions with humanity and the messengers, and this consideration brought to Dan's mind a discovery which only a few weeks earlier had been at the forefront of the minds of everyone fortunate enough to be in on it. The remarkable archaeological site of Dorlutepe. Discovered by a team managed by Billy Kendrick himself, the single pillar so far excavated at the site showed that early humans had not only been visited by the devious architects, but had recorded the event for posterity. What kinds of carvings might lie on the multitude of other pillars still buried in the Turkish earth was a mystery Dan hoped to get to the bottom of soon. But before then, he had to focus on getting back to Earth at all.